Amen. So Judges 13 through 16 really tells the story of Samson. And when I say Samson, is there another name that comes to your mind? Samson and? All right, right? Everybody thinks of Samson and Delilah, but there's more to the story than Samson and Delilah. There's more than that. And so as we look at, we're going to be focusing on a different part of the story. And many of you remember the story of Samson from Sunday school. And you saw the story told, and you remember the felt board, and you'd have the felt cutouts, and you put on. Remember those? All right? So I think technology has taken us a little ways away from that at times, but I love those felt stories, I tell you, as a kid. They were pretty great. But I wanted to start out, as we come to it, by looking at this verse in Judges 13, and it's verses 24 and 25. It says, "The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Manah, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol." See, Samson was called by God to be something unique. He was called to be a Nazarite. And to be a Nazarite, it's a pretty serious calling. There's a lot that goes in, and as we look at what it means to be a Nazarite, there were three things that were involved, and we'll see it later in it comes from number six of what it means to be a Nazarite. And that is, one, they were to abstain from all alcohol and anything of the grape or raisin. All right, so they didn't get the little red boxes of raisins to go to school when they were growing up, right? They weren't allowed to touch a dead body of any kind, animal or human, and they weren't allowed to shave or cut their hair. And that's what they were called to, was those three things, and they made a vow of those three things. And so as we look at this man, Samson, he's called to a few specific things. And this book took place about 1,000 years before Jesus. And it represents a pattern that we find in the Bible where the judges are called by God because the people have started sinning. They've started doing things that are right in their own eyes, and they've gotten away from God. They had been under a time of blessing because they had had a leader from God and they were following. And then they get away from that, and they start sitting, they start doing what's right in their own eyes, and they start living for themselves. And as time goes on, what's the consequence of living according to what you see is right? Man, you make a mess of life, and there's great consequences. And so at that point, they call out to God, and God would send a deliverer, a judge, a person to help them through and to... And he would bring truth, God's truth, and the people would repent, and they would follow this, and they would, things would be blessed again. And then guess what would happen after the time of blessing? They'd start, well, I kind of want to do things my way. And so we see in Judges this ongoing wheel of returning to the same old, the patterns of being blessed and then sinning and then consequences and then repentance and then blessing again. And that's what we see with Samson. And it might even sound, guys, familiar to you and me. And, you know, that's one thing that my heart really hopes and prays is that we have less times of these cycles of being blessed by God and then struggling because we start doing things that are right in our own eyes. But is there a reality that we struggle with the same thing? Anybody here gone a whole year of your life without going through even one of these in a minor way in an area of your life? You see, there's something in us that desires to do things our way. And it's, there are always consequences. So we see this situation where they're running back to God, asking for forgiveness, and God is gracious and loving, and he saves them again. And so you probably know the Philistines from the story of David. Remember David and Goliath? Well, Goliath, because he was a Philistine, we know a little bit more about the Philistines, but this takes place long before that story was took place. And so this is before that. And what do we know about Samson and the situation? First of all, God decided he's going to raise up a judge and to deal with all the problems, and so he raised up Samson. And we've heard a bits of the pieces of the story, Samson and Delilah, but what we're going to be talking about today is a different place. So I wanted to see that what we can learn from his life, and there's a specific truth. Samson's story takes place in Judges 13 through 16, so there's a lot to cover here, but I want to encourage us to, this week, spend some time in chapters 13 through 16, reading those chapters. We're going to talk about it today, but we're not going to cover all of it. So I want you guys in this week to come to read those three chapters during this week. Samson, a Nazarite, and so he takes these vows. He takes these vows, remembering no alcohol, no touching of a dead body, and no cutting of his hair. And his parents were told this before he was born. So they raised him in these truths. And he was set apart. To be a Nazarite means to be set apart for these specific things for God and to be called by God to be on mission. So Samson is born with a mission. And we see that in Judges 13:5. He shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. And he's going to begin to save. So that's his mission, to start to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Guys, this is the main enemy right now to the Israelites. This is a huge calling. How can one person accomplish this task? Well, we would think we would have to have a guy who really has it together, who's doing all the right things. And we're going to see in the life of Samson, he struggled. He struggled. He struggled because he has three areas of struggle. And the reason I wanted to go over Samson on Father's Day is because these are three areas that men struggle with: pride, lust, and anger. These are three areas for men that are pitfalls. They are real struggles. Men, every man who is healthy struggles with pride, anger, and lust. And I want to encourage us, we need to be willing to say, this is a problem that we have to face. These are some challenges that we as men have to work through because it's common to all of us. All right, so how is he going to accomplish this mission? Number one is he's not going to accomplish it in his own strength. He's called to begin and to have this mission of delivering the people, and it's a big task. But he's only going to accomplish it by God's power. It says in Judges 13, 24, 25, the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the man grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him. I love that. Think about that. The Spirit of God is stirring in him. What does it mean to be a young man and to come to the Lord and have God in you? It says in Galatians, for I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we've got God in us. And here, Samson has the Lord stirring in him. And he's been set aside for something perfect. The word literally means to stir, to motivate him into action. And God was working in Samson's life to motivate him. And we'll see this more and more as the story goes on. Well, you've heard the story about Samson with his power. Where was his strength? In his what? We think of it being his strength was in his hair. Because what happens later on when he gets his hair shaved? All his strength is gone. But I want to encourage us to think a little bit differently. The hair is the representation of where the strength lies. And so maybe for us to kind of have a greater understanding, rather than thinking his strength was in his hair, his strength was in the Lord. And it showed itself by how he was being faithful to God and how he was called to be a Nazarite set aside with these three areas, these three vows that he was committed to from before birth by his parents. And we'll see the story played out, but ultimately we'll see this verse in Samson's power, that it came from God. But this is where the problem starts, because it wasn't only the Spirit of God that was motivating Samson into action. Women also were a main motivation in his life. You see, the very first thing we see Samson do in his life is go into a Philistine town, enemy territory. He goes into the town of the Philistine, and he spots a woman who he thinks is very, very attractive. So he marches home, and he goes straight to his parents, and he demands that his parents go and get her for him, because he says, she's really good looking. She looks good to me. I want her. I want to marry her. You know, he said it in Hebrew, so it sounded a little different. But his parents argue with him, and they say that God has commanded them not to marry outside of their nation. Plus, they're not supposed to be sleeping with the enemy. This is the enemies of God. But Samson reveals the mission statement for his life when he's arguing with his father. And it says in Judges 14:3, Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she is what I want. It's right in whose eyes? Right in my eyes. He wants this beautiful woman. He wants to marry her. And so rather than being about what is right, it says his father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistine to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. She's the right one. In my eyes, what I see, she's the right one. You see, he was attracted to her outer beauty. Guys, you're looking at a man who married a beautiful woman. My honey. But she's more than just beautiful on the outside. One of the things that drew me to Julie was she didn't need me for her faith to be strong. She was strong in the Lord. And she was cute. But she was strong in the Lord. And I was drawn to her. And we met at 14, dated. I knew from the very first time that I was going to marry her, but anytime I said those words out loud or heard them rolling around my head, I'd get scared. So we dated four separate times before I realized you don't have to run away in fear. The time before the last time, I had to convince her just to talk to me, let alone date me. But that's a whole nother story I won't go into. But she's the right one for me. She's the right one for me. And as guys, we need to be drawn to the right one for us, not just visually, but we need to be drawn to the right one that God has picked out for us, that God has said, this is a woman who knows God. So gentlemen, if you know the Lord, I want to encourage you, make sure that you're spending time with people and not investing your hearts and minds and lives with women who are, like the Philistine woman here, separate from God. And you probably remember a lot of the story here. They kept on doing what was right in their own eyes rather than what was right in God's eyes. And so here Samson is supposed to be different than the people of God and how they had been living. He's supposed to live distinctive and be an example among the Israelites. but he's doing the same thing that they were. He's living the same way. And that's what gets people in trouble all the time, isn't it? Church, if we live as the world lives, what's going to be the consequence? The wake behind us is going to be a mess. And one of the challenges for Christians is, guess what? We are the biggest hypocrites there are. I'm sorry, it's true. Because we know truth. We know God. We claim to have be children of God. And yet so often we live in a way, in small ways and sometimes even in bigger ways, that is dishonoring to our Heavenly Father. And so I think it's important for us to be honest about it. We are hypocrites. We are. Because at times we sin and we do what shouldn't be done. And that's where Samson is here and where we are too. We do what's right in our own eyes. But let me ask you this. Isn't that the American dream? To get what you want? That's what the world says is worth fighting for. That American dream, that to have all the things that you want. Things that might be even a little bit better than your neighbor. And so there's this push from our society that says life is about getting what you want, you and yours. But we as believers are like Samson. We're called to be different. We're called to be set aside for something greater, living for eternal purposes. And Samson, much like us, is going to have to learn the hard way. Don't you wish you didn't learn things the hard way? Wouldn't it be great if we could learn things the easy way? You know, as parents, what do we love to do? We love to teach our children what's right and what's wrong. Why? So that they don't make the same mistakes we do, right? So that they don't live in the same way that we lived and make some of those bad choices. So Samson gets his way, and the marriage gets arranged. And the party goes on, which is common for that time, for 7 days. For 7 days. And Samson goes back into the Philistine town to make plans for the wedding. And Samson plans, a few days later, he's on the way back, and he passes by the path that he had been going over. And as he's on this path, one of the things that happens is a lion comes out. And he's attacked by a lion. And he kills the lion, and it says he ripped him open like a goat, like you would a... Does anybody here rip open goats? Okay. So he rips him open. He rips open like a goat, and a little while later, he comes by and back, traveling back through, and there's these wild bees that have gone into the carcass of the lion. And as these bees have gone into the carcass, they've made a nest, and he goes in, and he reaches in, and he takes the honey, and he eats it. Now, does anybody remember what those vows were that he wasn't supposed to do? He's not supposed to touch anything dead. And here, not only it's it, but he's eating honey out of a dead carcass. Why? Because he wanted it. It looked sweet and good. You see, Samson has this way of thinking. He's going to do what he wants. What pleases him, he walks into. He notices that the swarm of bees around it. He wants it. He goes in and he takes it. Samson was called to live a distinctive and different life. But he says, no, I'm interested in this. I want this right now. And so he takes what he wants. The story continues. The wedding is now here, and the judges tell us that they had to bring 30 men for Samson's bridal party. They had to bring 30 men, meaning Samson didn't have any friends. I want us to think about that. Samson doesn't have the friends for his own time, for his own wedding. And so they bring in 30 men, and This guy is not connected in. He's separate, but not in the way he's called to be separate. He's still living for himself. He's a loner. He's isolated. He's on his own. And Samson can't help himself, and he gets into even more trouble. So he makes a bet with the men. He poses a riddle to them and says, look, if you cannot solve the riddle over the next 7 days of the wedding feast, then all 30 of you have to buy me a new suit, a new set of clothes. But if you can solve the riddle, then I will buy each of you a new suit. And they accept the bet, and the riddle went like this. Out of the eater, this is Judges 14:14, out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. What is he talking about? He's talking about the lion, the carcass of the lion, the bees, the honey, and how he scooped it out. Now, how can they possibly know this? How can they know the answer to the riddle? There's no possible way. He's telling them a riddle that there's no way they could know the answer unless they find out. So they go to his wife, and she is a what? Philistine. And they put the pressure on her, and they threaten her, and they put the pressure on her. And they say, you have to tell us. You have to tell us what the answer to this riddle is. And so, for time's sake, we won't go too much into it, but man, so they go through this time of where finally they find out from her what the answer is to the riddle. And when Samson finds out that they know the answer, he's so angry. Because why? Because she turned on him. She's the one who gave up the information. And gentlemen, the reality is, who's the one responsible? Who did he marry? He married a Philistine. He married a woman who does that. She's from a different world, a different way of life. And so she does what she knows to save, to protect herself. And so there's consequences to the actions. And he sees it as her failure. But it's not just her failure. It's his. Guys, I want us to remember, there are consequences to our actions. Some of the consequences happen right away. Some of the consequences happen right away. Other consequences, they take time. We'll sin, and we'll think, you know what? I've gotten away with it. I can do what I want, and there aren't really that any consequences. But guys, what happens when we sin? We start looking over our shoulder, don't we? We start looking over our shoulder. We start wondering, when is the reality going to catch up with us? When is it going to come true? And so we live in fear. And it's a challenging time. All right. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson and his response. Guys, one of the things I want to say about this is, with Samson, we know the story of Samson and Delilah. Most of us know the story. Samson falls in love with another woman later on. But because he didn't deal with the sins from his earlier life and with his wife, he comes later to Delilah, and he commits the exact same kind of bad choices. And I want to say this. With Samson and Delilah, let's read about it here. I don't have this on the overhead, but I want to read here from the Word. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn, we'll kill him. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the posts and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. First of all, He's taking the gate, the very thing that's meant to protect them. He's ripping off and showing, you can't be protected. I am so strong. I am so powerful. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see, if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him, each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. Now, guys, I want to say this. If a woman ever comes up to you and says, hey, tell me how I can overpower you. Tell me how I can take advantage of you. Here's an idea. Run away. Get out of the situation. What do we know about Delilah? She wants to use him for what she wants. She doesn't love him. She's trying to use him. Ladies, there are men out there who are cads. Does that word date me? Who are bad people. There are men out there who are selfish and doing what they want for themselves. And ladies, you need to be careful of these men. I look at them as predators. Guys, there are women out there who are trouble and looking to cause trouble in the lives of those around them. We have to be honest. There's challenges out there. And so we as believers, we need to be wise. All of you who are single, I want to encourage you, be very careful about getting in a relationship where you don't know much about the other person. Be careful about that because, man, that's one of the things that's great about a church family is through the church, as you get to know, more people can be involved in the process of knowing the person. And we need to be willing to listen to other people and what they're saying. But here she's asking. Now, three times he jokes around with her and he tells her false information about how he can be subdued. And guess what? The first two times that he gives her the wrong information, what happens to him? He's tied up. He's tied up and he breaks free and he gets out. And she keeps asking. And then something happens. And it's shocking because why would a man who's been deceived twice come to the woman again and trust her again? And I would say this, I really believe it. We see in verse 10, it's because he hadn't dealt with the past. He hadn't dealt with what had happened to him before. He hadn't dealt with the past. He hadn't been whole from his wife in that whole situation. And something happens here. Let's read in verse, the page changed. There we go. In verse 10, then Delilah said of chapter 16, just listen here. Then Delilah said to Samson, you have made a fool of me. You lied with me. Come now, tell me how can you be tied. He said, if anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as another. It was a lie. Then Delilah then said, Samson, until now you have been making me a fool and lying with me. Tell me how you can be tied. He replied, my eyes got a little twisted there. He replied, if you weave the braids of my head into the fabric of a loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man. What's happening here? He's getting closer and closer to the truth. You see, first he starts out with ropes. Then he starts talking about his hair. He's getting close. He's giving in. Now, he hasn't fully said the truth about his hair, but he's shared closer and more and getting a little bit closer to the truth of what's really going on and where God has shown his strength in him. Again, she said to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He woke up and he breaks free. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you'?" Okay, remember those words. How can you say, "I love you," when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and told me this secret, and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." He tells her the truth. Now, when you guys picture Samson, what do you picture? Do you picture a really big, muscle-bound man? Mr. Universe kind of guy? You know, I want to suggest this, and I don't know this, but for the strength to be the kind of strength that doesn't seem to fit and to be from God, I tend to wonder, maybe he wasn't Mr. Universe. Maybe he was just a normal guy, and because it says that, man, that he has the strength, but I don't think it's the strength that's seen, that's humanly seen. I think it's the strength of the Lord. And here he comes and he finally tells her the truth. And when Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with a silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called Samson, "The Philistines are upon you." He awoke from the sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Guys, that's one of the saddest verses in this whole story. He did not know that the Lord had left him. He didn't know his strength was gone. He didn't know that there were consequences to his actions. You see, he had been doing what was right in his own eyes for so long. And it's shocking to see. And we know what happens with the death of Samson. Because what takes place after this is he's taken away and they put him as a guy who's a grinder, meaning he gets behind this pole and he pushes this man of strength and set aside by God. And he's put behind this piece of wood that's on this stone that's in a circle, and he just goes around and pushes it, and it grinds grain. And this great man of God, they gouge out his eyes. They put him behind the mill to grind the grain. And this is his life. And years go by, and time goes by, and he spends his life. Remember, he'd been set aside by God to do what? To start a great work against the Philistines. And here he is grinding grain. How do you deal with that? Well, what happens is, they were at a party and they were in high spirits. It says in verse 25, while they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of prison and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women, and the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. When Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God. Please strengthen me just once more." His hair had grown back a little, hadn't it? But he says, what? Don't Look, my hair is longer again, God. No, he says, God, strengthen me once more. His strength didn't come from his hair. His strength came from the Lord, and he's praying, God, I have blown it. I've made a mess of my life. But please, Lord, strengthen me once more. And he pushes out the columns, the ceiling comes crashing down on all those there, and there are so many. And it comes crashing down, and it kills the people, and it kills Samson. And God's truth is fulfilled. God's truth, God's calling on Samson is fulfilled. Guess what? God works either through us or through us. Right? He either works through us, working with him and humbling ourselves before him and saying, God, what you've called me to, I will do. Or he's going to work through us the hard way. And we're going to find ourselves at one point grinding. Now, we might not be grinding wheat, but we're going to be grinding something. We're going to be grinding in life and grinding through and trying to get, and our vision isn't going to be what it could have been. Samson's eyes were gouged out. And I want to encourage us, guys. I was really struggling with how do I tell this whole story, because it's a lot of scripture. But I want us to really, as we go through the story, not lose sight of the main point. And that is, man, God has called us to a mission, and he will accomplish what he wants through us or through us. And so how do we, men and women, how do we live in a way that honors God so that he works with us through us rather than against us through us? Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an enemy of God as his child. I want to end with this. Where in your life are you living as Samson lived? What area of your life are you doing what's right in your own eyes? Guys, we can all answer that question, can't we? And my only concern for you is, as I ask the question, you have the response, I'm good. Because if your mind went there, I don't have sin. What does scripture say about if we claim to have no sin? We're a liar and we're calling God out to be a liar. You see, for all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have areas that hurt others and us. And I want to encourage us, guys. We need to be willing to deal with, to bring that stuff out into the open, to deal with it. Otherwise, we're going to be like Samson, just grinding through. And that's no way to live for somebody who is set apart for the Lord's blessing. Because we as believers, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's your Lord and Savior, nothing can break that. But we can still live lives that have so little meaning for eternity. So I want to encourage us that my hope and prayer is, with so much information to go through and cover, that I don't miss the heart of the message, which is this. Man, where is it? What is it in your life that you need to bring before God and say, this is an area where I'm living as what's right in my own eyes. I give you this area of my life. Help me work on this area, God. I need your strength to show me truth. I need, you know what? I need, for men, I need some brothers who can come alongside me and I can put my sin out there and they cannot judge me, but help me through it, to work through it so that I can live a life that's honoring to God. Ladies, the same thing. Find some women who can help you with the truth and pray with you and encourage you. We've got the women's Tuesday night Bible study, 7:45, meets right in there. Ladies, if you're not a part of it, be a part of it. So did I not say 6:45? 6:45. For gentlemen, 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. Oh, man, where we come together. I tell you, this last Wednesday night, Jim was leading. It was powerful. It was powerful. It was encouraging hearing from all the different guys. And man, but we need to be open and honest and real with each other and share what's really going on. God wants us to be free in Christ, not to be grinding and stuck because of our sin. So I wanted to take a moment, and if there's some repenting that needs to take place, this is just a time for you to quietly pray in your heart before God and repent. And let's just take just a moment here, and then I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you desperately. Lord, we look at the life of Samson, a man who was called out to be separate and of purpose for you and on mission. And Lord, you used him, but you used him in spite of himself. Lord, we don't want you to have to use us in our brokenness and our messing up, but Lord, that you can use us as we humble ourselves in your strength and truth, and we can be a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem as you work through us in a forward manner. Lord, forgive us for our sin. Lord, we want to be like the people of God, like David, who sinned and committed adultery and murder, but yet he had it in his sin. He came to a place of repentance. We want to be men and women who come to places of repentance in our hearts, because that's why you said David was a man after God's own heart. We don't want to have the life of Samson, where you've called us to something greater and we fail because of our own pride, anger, and lust. Lord, we ask for your blessing. Show us how to live for you. Forgive us for our sins. Thank you that you do. May we forgive those around us who sin against us. Father, give us your purpose for our lives. And for that area in our life that we're struggling with, Lord, we give it to you right now. Give us the strength. First of all, give us the understanding of what is real and what is true and what is right. And then give us the strength to follow your truth in that, according to your word. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.